This is your Polycast for Monday, May 1st, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, an investigation of a St. Paul mayoral candidate and a new chair for the state Republican Party. Authorities are launching an investigation over claims that the election campaign of a St. Paul City Council member may have solicited an improper campaign contribution from a lobbyist. The exchange started as a coffee shop meeting with Councilmember Dai Tao, who's running for mayor of St. Paul. Tim Nelson has more.
St. Paul has launched a criminal investigation and is bringing in the state's Bureau of Criminal Apprehension to investigate a text message exchange between Dai Tao's campaign and a lobbyist earlier this year.
It is being looked into by appropriate authorities.
That's Mayor Chris Coleman speaking after the allegations surfaced this weekend. He called the matter serious. The lobbyist in the case reported meeting with Tao and several clients in a Selby Avenue coffee shop in February over a matter the council was weighing. It was a meeting detailed in an interview with NPR on the condition that the issue and the lobbyist would not be identified for fear of retaliation against the lobbyist's client. The lobbyist said Tao listened and then told the lobbyist that he needed what he called resources to spread his message, and the lobbyist offered some additional information about the issue. The lobbyist, who would not speak on tape, said, quote, "I don't think anyone in that conversation thought he wanted information. We talked about it afterward, and we all felt that he had asked for money." The lobbyist said the meeting wasn't intended as a campaign meeting and that Tao's campaign manager did not attend. But the lobbyist said that shortly after the meeting, Tao's campaign manager, Angela Marlowe, sent a text message asking outright for a donation for his mayoral campaign and offering to, quote, "rethink this issue." The lobbyist eventually responded with a text citing Minnesota's bribery statute, and there's no indication any money actually changed hands. Tao denied any wrongdoing and called the allegations an attack on his campaign, although he did release a statement saying he'd fired his campaign manager. He spoke in an interview at a DFL party convention at Harding High School yesterday.
The quid pro quo is absolutely false, and you'll have more of that when we have all the facts in the next coming days.
Tao also said he believed the incident involved proposed cigar and flavored tobacco bans he supported, which was not the subject of the meeting the lobbyist described. The lobbyist also denied the allegations were a political attack and denied disclosing either the meeting or the text messages, saying the exchange had been shared with a confidant seeking counsel about how to respond. The lobbyist said a third party released the information to a local TV station without permission. Fox 9 initially reported the allegations Saturday. The allegations have surfaced at a high point in St. Paul's mayor's race. Tao and three other contenders are vying for the endorsement of the city's dominant DFL party as they seek to replace three-term mayor Chris Coleman, who's running for governor next year. The party's city convention is June 17th and could decide an endorsement and be a key factor in this fall's election. Tim Nelson, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Minnesota Republicans chose an outsider to lead their party into the 2018 elections. Party members chose Jennifer Carnahan Saturday to be chair of the state party. As Brian Baxter reports, her ascent has been swift.
Carnahan doesn't subscribe to the idea that people must wait their turn to do big things in politics. If there was a line to be party chair, she pretty much ignored it. An active partisan for just more than a year, Carnahan beat three seasoned contenders in a surprise fourth ballot victory. She'll now be tasked with chipping away at a nagging party debt and preparing Republicans for a busy 2018 campaign.
If the Democrats aren't worried, they should be, because we're coming for them in 2018 and we're going to go big.
A wide-open governor's race is the top prize on a crowded ballot. Republicans haven't won a statewide race in more than a decade. The party was fractured for much of last year, but has since rallied around new President Donald Trump. Carnahan took time to come around to Trump, too. She was a delegate to the party's national convention, originally in support of Florida Senator Marco Rubio. The 40-year-old boutique owner with a marketing background isn't shy about sharing her personal story of rising from hardship. Here's what she told delegates.
I was abandoned outside a rural hospital in South Korea on a back doorstep next to a garbage bin. 5 months later, the course of my life changed forever when two loving parents from Minnesota adopted me.
She says her main task at the outset is to raise money. She figures she'll have to raise $50,000 to $75,000 a month just to keep the lights on at party headquarters. Covering politics, I'm Brian Baxt in St. Cloud.
3 weeks to go at the Minnesota Capitol, and despite a projected budget surplus that now stands at $1.5 billion, Republicans in the House and Senate continue to push hard for significant spending cuts within state government. The Minnesota Secretary of State's office is among their many targets. The debate is pitting the current DFL occupant of the office against one of his Republican predecessors. Tim Pugmire has the story.
Secretary of State Steve Simon proudly boasts that his office is a net contributor to the state budget. The fees it charges for a variety of business services bring in about $20 million more than the actual cost of operations. Simon said he's been reminding legislators about that as they consider budget cuts, which add up to an 18% hit in the House budget and 7.5% in the Senate.
Be careful not to kill or at least harm the golden goose. And while $20 million from the standpoint of a $40-plus billion budget is not a gigantic windfall, this is one of the few areas of the state government that actually makes money.
Under DFL Governor Mark Dayton's budget proposal, funding for the Secretary of State's office would remain flat. Simon said the proposed cuts would result in noticeable slowdowns and delays for business filings, as well as the administration of elections. He said staff layoffs are also a possible consequence.
I fear that if at the end of the day these cuts prevail, and we don't know that yet, it's early enough in the negotiation process, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt a lot of people.
One of the legislators Simon needs to convince is Republican Senator Mary Kiffmeyer of Big Lake. Kiffmeyer has experience with the office. She also has experience with budget cuts. Kiffmeyer is the chair of the Senate State Government Committee, and she was Secretary of State from 1999 to 2007. During that time, the office was dealt a 15% cut. Looking back, Kiffmeyer said she was able to do quite well, even with less funding. She said there were no reduced services, and the revenue stream from fees continued.
We not only survived it, but we actually found savings that, in my frugal approach to things, even I didn't yet know. There were things in there that we could readily do differently, and were able to claim significant savings. And sometimes you don't find them until you're in a situation where you have to.
The cut lawmakers handed Kiffmeyer and other government offices came at a time when the state was running a big budget deficit. This year, there's a big surplus. But Republicans are intent on giving much of that money back to taxpayers. They're also intent on trimming the size of state government. Republican Representative Sarah Anderson of Plymouth, the chair of the House State Government Committee, said she wants to roll back department and constitutional office budgets to where they were 5 years ago. Anderson said she doesn't think it's a heavy lift.
Oh, I think overall in this administration, government has grown by significant amounts. And what we're asking for them is to live a little bit more in line with how Minnesotans have had to live.
Republican leaders expect to wrap up their conference committee negotiations on budget bills by the end of the day. But the spending issues are far from settled. House and Senate negotiators still need to reach a compromise with the governor. Covering politics, I'm Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
And that's your Polycast for this Monday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. We'll be right back.